This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. One more segment here on this bi-week edition of the podcast. And, you know, Steve, how are you feeling? Are you excited to sit on your couch and watch football on Sunday? Because I am.
Yeah, I know a lot of people kind of feel, oh, man, the Saints were just building up some momentum and now we're heading into the break. It kind of stifles things. But I laughed when immediately I think it was Derek Carr was asked about it. And I think we might have played it here. And it was like, no, we're looking forward to the bye week. This team needed that little bit of a breather right now because they are so banged up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, these guys are banged up. They are ready for some rest. And I think that's important. Like, people might be like, oh, why don't they just keep practicing through the bye week? Like, no, they need rest. Like, these guys need to get their bodies back for this stretch run. And that's the thing. Like, you know, if they had this, if the Saints had hindsight and they could point back and say, well, what week, if you got to choose from the future, would you have chosen to have your bye week? It would not be week 12. It would have probably been week 9 or week 8. It would have probably been, you know, okay, let's hopefully we can survive one of these weeks where Derek Carr is out and not have to look to our backup quarterback, right? Or week 9, a game that Derek really was rusty in and probably came back a week earlier than was optimal. Or maybe he would have struggled in the first game back regardless. He was bad in that game and, you know, it hurt you. But that's, you don't get to do that. And at the end of the day, like we talked about earlier, you know, 8-0 sounds impossible. 6-0 still sounds impossible, but like we've seen 6-game winning streaks before. But it's happened, right? And for it to happen, the best case scenario is you win those two games going into the bye and you kind of rest up, you have momentum before what would probably be one of your more difficult games in the Rams. And you have all of the, like, what are the advantages you can gain from the schedule? And those advantages usually include, okay, a little extra rest on your side and a little less rest on their side. A home game rather than a road game, right? They have to travel, you don't. So getting that extra rest and having it be a home game, that changes things. So, you know, that's not going to win you a game, but I think there are things that make it impossible to win. And you don't have any of those things going against you in this game. All you got to do is go out and beat the team that I don't think is as good as people want to talk about it like they are in the Rams.
No, and for me with the Rams, I've mentioned it before. Sean McVay just has that punchable face for me. And obviously what happened when the NFC Championship game with the Nolan no-call, it just makes me want to slug him even more. The Rams are one of those teams that have been a pesky, you know, thorn in the side for this black and gold bunch. We saw it last year. We talked about it too, how it wasn't fair for this team on a short week, having to go Thursday night football out to, you know, California. And they sure looked like they were gassed in that matchup. Unfortunately, you know, Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp, they're all back in action. Everybody's, you know, performing and healthy for the Rams currently, at least. They got a Sunday night game against the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll definitely be watching for many reasons.
And so let's start by just kind of resetting the standings, right? So the Saints, it felt like 2 weeks ago, were completely out of this
Forget
race
about
in the
it, right.
NFC South, right? So the Falcons have lost two in a row. One of those games was to the Saints. The Bucs have lost four in a row. They're in a complete free fall. And it's a weird situation because the Bucs have actually played reasonably well in these losses. They've just lost all these games. And you know, you talk about why did the Saints lose these games? Because they were close in a handful of them, but they just didn't have the firepower to push themselves over the top. You know, they took the Chiefs to overtime. They lost. They never even touched a ball in overtime, right?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to watch many Tampa games of late, but I have, you know, just from reading things, people have been just not the offense being the problem, but the defense for some reason has been failing them immensely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they lost to the 49ers on a field goal, right? They lost to the Falcons 31-26, right? In games where you don't have either of your top two wide receivers and you're missing a few other pieces, you know, that's ugly. But, you know, so
they might be getting Mike Evans back this week.
Yeah, right. So they should be getting some of these pieces back. But, you know, they're basically the same record as the Saints right now. They're 4-6. The Saints are 4-7. The Panthers are 3-7. Now, I think they might not win another game all year, because they're not going to play the Giants again. But, you know, like that's where you are. The problem is going to be the Falcons already have four wins in the NFC South. And right. The Saints cannot get to a fourth win. They already have three losses in the NFC South because they lost to the Falcons, they lost to the Panthers, and they lost to the Bucs. Now they have right. two wins. They beat the Panthers and they beat the Falcons.
Right.
But the best they can do is 3-3. So that means that even though they split the season series with the Falcons, they will lose the head-to-head tiebreaker because the second tiebreaker is division record. And it could get weird if they end up in a three-way tiebreak. I didn't have to go down that road. But for now, you look at it and you say, if the Falcons win four of their remaining six games, then they win the division, right? If they win three, it becomes a little closer, but again, you're not beating them at 9-8. So and if they win three games, really the only way for the Saints to win the division would be to win out. I think a more likely scenario would be 5-1, in which case 9-8 doesn't get you to the division, because the issue is you look at the Falcons' schedule and they have games left with the Raiders, the Giants, and the Panthers. So like they're going to win those games, right? Maybe the Panthers, because it's a division game and you get a little more angst and maybe the Panthers are playing better and Bryce Young is trying to prove something and the Falcons laying egg. I don't know. But you know, you look at it and you just chalk those up as three wins for the Falcons. So they're getting to nine wins, it feels like. And then all they would have to do to win the division is to beat one of the Commanders, Vikings, Chargers. Now they could lose all three of those games. But even if they did, the Falcons probably still win the division. So it's tough to look at, like when you say, hey, do we control our own destiny? The answer is no, you don't in the division, because the Falcons have the keys. If they fall off, if they lose four games and they end up 8-9, then it's wide open. But if you're the Saints, you still have to hope that you finish strong and they fall off significantly from where they were. And you know, they got blown out by the Broncos this week, so it's definitely possible. But I still think a wild card, if you're the pie in the sky, how did the Saints actually get in? I think a wild card is probably the path.
And that, I mean, that seems kind of rough. I'd have to look definitely at the rest of the NFL, NFC standings, but a wild card, maybe not too out of hand then maybe some may think, just because of everybody's record around the league isn't as intimidating as you would have think.
Yeah, I only say that because I think 9-8 could get you a wild card. 9-8 will not get you, almost certainly will not get you the division, because you will lose the tiebreaker to the Falcons if you get there. I do want to play, you know, here's the thing, like people are coming around on the Saints, or at least some people are. I think it's going to take a little time, but this is Pat McAfee talking about the Saints. It's actually talking with Adam Schefter in this clip, and I just enjoyed it. So let's listen to it.
Atlanta had an opportunity to separate itself and it squandered that opportunity. They're still in a good spot, the Falcons are, but they were 6-3 and rolling and playing a Saints team that, frankly, they should handle that game. And they
it's the Riz Saints now, brother. This is the new Saints, brother. Yeah. Taysom Hill's back doing Taysom Hill shit, too. I put that tweet out about Taysom Hill. I'm like, it feels like Coach Riz walked into the offensive meeting room and said, I don't know what it is, but I haven't seen Taysom Hill do Taysom Hill stuff in like 2 years. Has anybody, am I the only one that's missing anything? You got Taysom throwing touchdowns, catching touchdowns, throwing interceptions, fumbling. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had real Taysom Hill experience yesterday for this New Orleans Saints team. And I know their record says that they're mathematically close to being out of it, but why not Riz and the Saints getting hot?
Love it. Why not?
I will say he didn't actually catch or throw a touchdown, so I don't know where he got that information. But I think that's true. I think a lot of what happened in that game was Riz being like, can we just get Taysom the freaking ball? Like, can we just do this, please? We'll figure it out from there. And so, no, I think like, and that's kind of the tone you're hearing around the NFL is like, hey, it's unlikely, but, you know, weird shit happens all the time. Why not? Right. And you're going to get winnable games down the stretch of this schedule. And so that's where I'm going to kind of look at it. Right. So, most likely your chance at getting to the postseason, assuming the Falcons get their head out of their ass and win these winnable games, is to go through the wild card. The problem is you look at the teams currently, like you can say, yeah, there's a lot of middling records in the NFL right now, but there is a gap between the third and final wild card team and the rest of the pack, which is the Rams are currently the eighth playoff seed right now at 5-5, which you're like, wow, the Saints are 4-7. They're right there. Well, the problem is, the Commanders are the 7 seed at 7-4. So that's a pretty big gap to clear.
Right.
When you look at, oh, the Packers are 7-3. They'd be the 6 seed right now. The Vikings are 8-2. None of these division winners can really fall back to you because, you know, the Cardinals are 6-4. They're leading the NFC West. So even if they fell back to the Packs, someone has to win the NFC West. So they would just end up being like, they would just drop out of the field entirely rather than falling back into the actual wild card race. So the Saints need, in order to really get a run at this, one of Washington, Green Bay, or Minnesota to kind of hit a wall and fall down. And I'll tell you right now, the most likely team for that to happen to is Washington. Correct. And that also happens to be a team that the Saints have a game in hand against. So, and I also think that the football gods would smile upon a team trading their star cornerback to a team that's like, we're going to make a run at the playoffs, and then being the team that keeps them out of the playoffs. Like, if you were one that believes like the script writers have a lot of control in the NFL these days, that would be a pretty great
script. I'm looking at things. What's wild too, Jeff, Washington has a week 14 bye week.
Yeah, right before they face the Saints. Whew. And so we talk about, hey, how does the schedule help you? The schedule helps Washington there. But yeah, that's so late. I didn't realize they gave byes
really that late, right?
Like that's, but it helps you in the stretch run, right? Like that's a benefit that other teams won't have. So if you can be, that's why if the Saints were 5-5 right now, or 5-6 or whatever, you know, instead of 4-7, and you got that bye, you'd be like, we're right there. This is perfect. We're set up. We're going to heal up a little bit. Then we're going to go. We're going to hit that sprint at full speed. Right now at 4-7, it doesn't, like, you feel like shit because you're like, man, we feel like we probably already made it impossible. So even if the Commanders, they lose their next two games, right? If the Commanders lose their next two games, going to that game at 7-6, you still have a desperate Commanders team. But that's probably the scenario the Saints need. They need the Commanders to lose one or two of these games coming up. And we'll see how that goes. So first things first, let's go through a rooting guide for this weekend, because it is week 12. You're going to be on the couch. So who should you be rooting for this weekend as the games go on? Now, I'm not going to talk to you about AFC games. I'm going to talk to you about NFC games. So the first interesting NFC game is Vikings at Bears.
Go Bears.
Vikings 8-2. They're the top playoff seed right now. Bears at 4-6. You root for the Bears. This one probably won't matter in the end, because I don't think the Vikings have, there's enough losses on their schedule to fall back as far as the Saints would need them to, right? Yeah. Like the Saints' best possible record right now is 10-7. The Vikings' best possible record right now is 15-2.
Right.
Right. So like, I mean, they could go 3-4 the rest of the way and get to a record that the Saints couldn't match even if they won out. So this game probably doesn't matter, but still root for the Bears because, hey, maybe, you know, the Vikings are still led by Sam Darnold. Maybe he reverts to Sam Darnold, the Sam Darnold we know, and they lose a bunch of games. It's happened.
I'm looking here. Minnesota still got the Bears twice left. Arizona, Atlanta, Seattle, Green Bay, and Detroit. And Detroit's the last game of the year. They might not even be playing anybody.
It's definitely not an easy schedule.
Right.
And that's why, you know, it's tough because it's a weird situation, right? Because the Vikings are 8-2, and I'm saying root for the Bears. The Eagles are 8-2, and I'm saying root for the Eagles. And we can just skip to that game. That's the Sunday night game, and it's Eagles at Rams. Now, why definitely do I want the Eagles, Bears right. to knock a, put a win on the Vikings when I want the Eagles to get to 9-2? Well, for two reasons. One, I want the Rams to lose games because it's just one more team falling down that is going to benefit you, right? Like, you're going to be in competition with them the rest of the way. And also, hey, maybe it's a physical game and you beat them up and they come in a little battered and bruised and that helps you. But also, like you mentioned, I need the Lions to have someone pushing them through the end of the season, right? So I don't want to get into that week 18 game and have the Lions have nothing to play for if the Vikings are trying to win to steal a wild card spot because they've lost five of their last six games and suddenly it's right there, right? So I want the Lions to be playing. So that's why I want the Eagles to kind of be up there with them. And the Eagles should be because they don't have a tough schedule left.
This sucks, Jeff. I can already see, as you know, we're not even close to the end yet, but we're going to be talking about this the rest of the way of if this team does that and they do this, then the Saints could end up here. Obviously, if the Saints have to keep winning.
If it makes you feel any better, I don't think this is going to matter. But we might as well go through it, right? So a few others. Bucks 4-6 at Giants 2-8. Root for the Giants.
No doubt.
I mean, not that it really matters. Like, the Saints have a game in hand against the Bucks, so they are really tied. No matter what happens the rest of the way. Well, that's not true. They're really tied right now because even if they both win out in that week 18 game, like, they're right there. Whoever wins it would be the, so like, you don't need the Bucks to take another loss, but either way, root for the Giants because fuck the Bucks. All right. Cowboys at Commanders again. Now this is going to be a conflicting one. Right. Root for the Cowboys. Yeah. Definitely root for the Cowboys. Now Cowboys probably aren't going to win a game the rest of the season. Still root for the Cowboys because you need one of these teams to start losing games to have a chance at a wild card.
Do they end up going to Trey Lance?
You probably should.
Because Cooper Rush does not look good with Cooper Rush.
I mean, and Cooper Rush is like 30. Like, it's like, what's the point of playing a guy who's not your future? He's 31. Like, if Cooper Rush started being good right now, his career would last 4 years. Like, what's the actual benefit of going with Cooper Rush when you have Trey Lance? Anyway,
I guess if the tank is in full effect,
I guess. Yeah. But all right. So a couple more. 49ers at Packers, root for the 49ers. This is kind of conflicting too, because the 49ers are 5-5. So they're right there. It's kind of the inverse of the Rams. But again, I need one of the Packers or the Commanders to fall back to me. So I'm rooting for the 49ers, even though this would put them at 6-5 and actually ahead of the Saints. I'll worry about the 49ers later. I need the Packers to start losing games. One more. Cardinals at Seahawks. Cardinals are 6-4. Seahawks are 5-5. I'm rooting for the Cardinals because I just want these teams in that 5-5 pack to start sliding back.
Right. Goodbye. Right.
And the Cardinals are already winning that division. They don't affect me. Like, if an NFC West team runs away with that, it doesn't really matter. So get to 7-4. I don't care. I need the Seahawks to lose because that puts me in better position. So anyway, that's the rooting guide.
Yeah, the NFC, the North and the West are kind of your problems there, but with so many teams bunched together.
Well, the North is your problem. The West I don't really care about because the West is going to kind of, eat itself, right? But the North is the problem because not that they're all bunched together, but they're all bunched together with a lot of wins, right? Like, the Lions are 9-1, the Vikings are 8-2, and the Packers are 7-3. Two of those teams are wildcard teams. Yeah. Now, the good news there is they have to keep playing each other, so they all can't win, right? And that's why, like, I'm okay with the Lions. If the Lions go 16-1, that's a good thing because that means you have put losses on those other teams. So that's the only positive of that is that, yeah, I would be more worried if it was like, if there was two wildcard teams coming out, like if the NFC North had one wildcard team and the NFC West had another one, and like the NFC West leader was 8-2 and then second place was 7-3, because then they don't play, they could all win. Whereas when it's all coming out of one division, like you can't, and even the Bears are 4-6. It's not like the Bears are terrible. Like not right. For the Panthers or the Giants or the Cowboys. Like the NFC East is another good example. Like that's one of the reasons that the Commanders is a tough equation, because they're going to have games left against, actually, I think they played the Giants twice already, but they're going to have a game left against the Cowboys this week, right? Like you don't have these really difficult matchups that you're going to have to figure out. They did lose to the Eagles. So anyway, that's that.
Yeah. And like you mentioned there, obviously, you know, you talk about, oh, it's a division matchup. Those are always tougher, but the way things are right now with teams like the Giants and Dallas, nobody's worried about them at all.
No, no. But all right, let's go through the Saints games remaining before we get out of here. And I'm going to flash up the schedule here to our right. But all right, yeah. So obviously week 12 bye, week 13, Rams at Saints, week 14, Saints at Giants, week 15, Commanders at Saints. And so you look at this and you say, okay, there's one win on this schedule and two tough games. Now, why am I feeling confident about the Saints playing the Rams? And that's how I'll frame it, because you look at it and you say, okay, why would you feel confident after watching what the Saints did going across the country playing the Rams last year? And we already talked about the scheduling part of it. Like you're not going to be on a short week. You're not going to deal with that. But there's other reasons too, right? Like one of the things that really was clear in that game against the Rams is the Saints defense was just not prepared for that scheme. They did not play it well. They did not handle it well. And that's why like it felt so hopeless, because in every moment that you felt like, well, they need to get a stop here, they just couldn't, right? The Saints now run a variation of the scheme that the Rams run, right? It's all coming out of that McVay Shanahan tree. So what does that mean? And I talked to Alonte Taylor about this in camp. You've practiced against this scheme all year. Like you spent all training at camp going against a team that's motioning constantly, that's trying to get you out of position, that forces you to be good with your eyes and not misplay these extra steps that guys are taking, right? So that helps you, right? Like you have a little bit more institutional knowledge of what this scheme is going to do and how to play it. Fast forward to this season, right? Week 4. You go out to Atlanta and you play the Falcons. Who's their offensive coordinator? Zach Robinson. Where's Zach Robinson from? The Rams. He was Sean McVay's understudy. Raheem Morris, also out with Sean McVay. So what do you think the Falcons offense is doing right now? They're running Sean McVay's offense with Kirk Cousins, who is a very similar quarterback to Matthew Stafford. A ton of arm talent, not particularly mobile, right? So you handled them pretty well in week 4. They didn't score an offensive touchdown. They ran the ball, but they didn't throw the ball. Fast forward to week 10. You see that same offense again. You pretty much shut it down. Again, they ran the ball. They didn't throw the ball on you. They completed a few difficult passes, but you played pretty good coverage in that game. So I kind of look at that and say, hey, I feel a whole lot better about how the Saints are going to handle this Rams scheme than I did last year. Now they have Puka Nacua. I always want to say Puka Kupp and Cooper Nacua. They have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, and those guys are going to be tough to stop. They have Kyron Williams, who's going to be tough to stop. But I don't see this as the same matchup as last year, because you have a whole lot more institutional knowledge about how to stop that offense. So that's why I feel a little better about it. Also knowing that in 2022, this Rams team came to New Orleans, and they didn't have Puka Nacua back then. But the Saints handled them pretty well. Like I've seen people say like, oh, the Rams have the Saints number. And like they didn't in 22, like you beat them with Andy Dalton pretty handily. Obviously Stafford got hurt in that game.
Right.
Finish it out. But it's not like they were getting blown off the field while he was in there. So I don't know. Like I think we're glazing the Rams a little bit because of what happened in week 16 of last year. And I just think that game was more of a mirage than this Saints not being able to handle that scheme in any way.
I sure hope so, because one thing's for sure, Jeff, if they don't get that pass rush clicking against a guy like Stafford, we might have mentioned this before, he definitely will pick you the fuck apart.
Sure, and they're going to get theirs. I'm not saying that you're going to shut out the Rams.
No, right.
I'm just saying that, like, they're not going to score on every possession. Like, they felt like it felt like they were going to do in that game, where the only thing that stopped them was like fourth downs. And I think, like, you're going to have to score to beat them. And that's the bigger question to me, is can you put up the points? And, you know, this is a Rams team without Aaron Donald. They don't have Aaron Donald anymore, so they're a little bit more susceptible in the middle of the field, right, in the middle of the defensive line. So we'll see. But I think that's what it's going to be about, is can you score? Can you put points on the board and then take advantage of opportunities when they exist? But again, this Rams offense all season long hasn't been blowing people off. Like, now, obviously, they didn't have Cooper Kupp. They didn't have Puka Nacua for a good stretch. They have those guys now, and that changes things for them. They've won four of the last final five games. But they did just get beaten up by the Dolphins. They got taken down to the wire by the Seahawks. So, and then they right, they played the Patriots last week, and that was a closer game than you would expect. So we'll see. They won that game 28-20, but I don't know. I think the Saints are going to put up a fight. Their back's against the wall. And here's the thing. You win that game, suddenly you're in a position that you get to go out and face a Giants team with Tommy DeVito. You should be able to win that game. And then you're on a four-game winning streak. And like I said, you know, every time you win a couple games, that 8-0 finish feels a little less impossible, right? And so one of the reasons it felt impossible is we got to beat the Rams. So if you go and beat the Rams and you go and beat the Giants, then you're sitting there and saying, hey, we just won four games in a row. We saw how that happens. Can we do it again?
Yeah, shoot. We dropped seven. Why can't we win eight?
That's what Foster said. And that was my logic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In my youth soccer days, never worked then either. Like, oh, we got out to score. If they scored 10 goals in the first half, why can't we score 10 in the second?
Right.
Oh, because we're not good enough? Yeah, that's
oh, great. Oh, yeah.
I didn't factor that in. I didn't factor the talent part of it in.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the Rams maybe get a little bit overblown because maybe name and head coach, they do have the weapons, but for whatever reason, they definitely aren't clicking, obviously, right now at 5-5. And yeah, they are healthier right now, but you just mentioned games that they could have been, you know, they could have had in hand that they should have. You end up dropping matchups to like the Miami Dolphins. They didn't look good at all.
No, and that was a primetime game, I think. That was a Monday game.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's going to be a tough game. Don't get me wrong. But sure. I think a lot of people are looking at it and saying, like, oh, they can't win this game. Like, they can win this game. And if they do, then things start to look a lot more possible. And so it's hard to get past this game as we talk about the rest of the schedule.
Yeah, right.
But for the purposes of talking about the rest of this schedule, let's just say, okay, they win. Because if they lose, then a lot of this ceases to matter. If they win, then everything's still on the table for you. And you go out to New York and I'm just going to tell you, the Saints are going to win that game. Like, the Giants aren't winning the game this season.
Yeah, playing outside in December in New York is not scary to me either. You know, I'll just turn back to, obviously, that Browns game when it was 0 degrees, negative degrees outside. So weather won't be a factor. You don't want to see, obviously, snow, wet conditions, something like that. But the way the Giants are playing, I'm definitely not worried about them being able to sustain any kind of momentum against this black and gold bunch.
I mean, weather will be a factor if it's like that, but it's going to be a factor for both teams. Like, that's the thing that drives me nuts is, like, we talk about cold as if, like, the Saints can't play in the cold. Like, you think the Giants are out there rolling around in snow every day? Like, no, they practice inside too. Like, they don't want to play in the snow any more than the Saints do. And I think a lot of times when you have those kind of cold weather games and everyone spends all week talking about how the Saints don't have a chance because it's cold, they take that personally. Like, I was like, all right, fine, bet, right? And they go out there, and we saw that against Cleveland, right? I remember one time Coastal Carolina went to go play Montana when I covered Coastal when I lived in Myrtle Beach, and it was like negative 25 degrees, and everyone was like, these Myrtle Beach kids, they're going to come out here and get rolled. They won by like 30. Like, because they were just, it's just like there's that kind of motivating factor of like, they're calling us soft? All right, let's see who's soft. And I think a lot of times the home team buys into that. And they kind of then they might lose their edge. Whereas this other team has like been hearing all week how they don't have a chance, and so they're like, "All right, let's see it." So I don't know. And then as we mentioned, Washington comes into town. The most concerning part of that about that matchup, like you said, is Washington gets a week to rest, because I think one thing that's been happening with Washington, they've lost their last two games, is Jaden Daniels is dealing with a rib injury, and If he's healthy and gets a week off and gets a rest and comes back, then that game looks a lot more scary to me than it might right now, based on what I've seen them do over their last two games, because they haven't looked particularly good over the last two games.
No, everyone's wondering if, obviously, you know, Jaden's hit that rookie wall already. Just hopefully it keeps going, and we see that in week 15. Scary too, obviously, from the factor of, he is definitely a quarterback you got to worry about running.
Yeah, no question. Right. And you know, it's funny, we haven't really seen the Saints have to deal with that this year. Like, we've talked a lot about it, but yeah, you know, and there's so many mobile quarterbacks in the NFL now, so many guys who are going to run around. I wouldn't say the Saints have had a ton of situations that they've had to manage that in. You know, like Justin Herbert ran, but he's not a running quarterback. Jalen Hurts ran. He is a running quarterback. He didn't run that much. Right. He kind of kept him in the pocket. You know, Kirk Cousins obviously isn't going to run. Baker's not really going to run. Who else have the Saints played? Oh, Bo Nix did run and was a problem. He's probably a good example of a guy that, you know,
yeah, took advantage of that. Mahomes rushing yards, I don't think it was ridiculous at all.
No, Mahomes is a guy who kind of scrambles.
Yeah.
To throw, not so much to run, but he did run for, he runs when he needs to, and he almost always gets exactly what he needs.
Of course.
Which is exhausting. So yeah, no, if Jaden feels comfortable running around, and I think when you have a rib injury, maybe you don't, because you just don't want to take that hit. So if he's healthy and able to run around, then I think that game could go sideways for the Saints. And obviously Marshawn's going to be there. Marshawn's going to be motivated. I mean, I say obviously, maybe. Let's see if he gets on the field. He's not practicing today.
Oh, you saw that already, huh?
Well, I saw, maybe I'm looking at thinking about what yesterday, but he didn't practice on Wednesday of this week. And so he's dealing with, for all you folks who are talking about business decisions,
right?
Clearly there's a real injury there. And I almost wonder if he passed his physical. So clearly they didn't think it was like anything like super crazy. But I think Commanders fans they're going to turn on him pretty soon.
Yeah, it's going to be a point now. It's like, all right, how many weeks is it that we've acquired you and you're still not on the field? What the hell?
Right. Like, they're all excited. They got this guy. Sure. They're going to turn on him pretty soon, I bet. Especially if they keep losing games and you're like, what the hell?
As the Cajun cannon loves to say, he's hell when he's well.
It's not well. But yeah, and then so you get after that Commanders game, if you manage to win that one too, right? Like, again, we're kind of going through this as if you do, and you look at the rest of the schedule, you end up with Packers, Raiders, Bucks. Now, the Packers game, I would say, is the hardest game left on your schedule.
Agreed.
For a few reasons. One of those reasons being it's December 23rd at Lambeau. And when I say, like, the Giants aren't spending a lot of time rolling around in the snow and having a good time.
Not even a noon kickoff.
Yeah, at night, 7:15 p.m. on a Monday. Maybe you can flex that. We don't know. But, you know, we talk about, like I said, I don't think the Giants are rolling around in the snow and like super excited about a cold weather game. I think the Packers are. I think the Packers are a team like the Packers, the Bills. These are teams. It's like, you know, the Bane thing. It was like, you just adopted the dark. I was born in it. Like, that's the Packers. Like, they do this all the freaking time. So they know how to play in it. They know how to warm up in it. They know how to be comfortable in it. I'm sure like the visitor's sideline doesn't have the right kind of heaters or something like, so if that game is an ice bowl, I find that that's not, I don't think they're going to go in there like they did against Cleveland and win that game, but who knows? We don't know. It might be unseasonably warm. And
you, that's what I'm hoping for your sake, for crying out loud.
I mean, we're not even talking about media. I'm talking about the players, but I'm going to die. I'm already accumulating warm weather or like warm clothing. Like, I got a puffer
just
jacket.
Stay near that heater most of the game.
Yeah. Normally I like to pace. I think I'll have to pace to stay alive in that game. If I stay still for more than 30 seconds, I might die. But so that's going to be a tough one. That said, this Packers team has not, there's not a lot of teams blowing anybody out right now.
Right.
And you're looking at their last three games. They beat the Bears on a blocked field goal at the last second at the buzzer. Right. So that's the Bears, a team that's not particularly good. That they should have won that game. They lost to the Lions, which, you know, a lot of teams lose to the Lions. They're 9-1. And then they beat the Jaguars, a team that is very much let go of the rope, 30-27 on a game winning field goal by Brandon McManus. So this is not a team that's blowing people out. We've seen the Saints play them and they dominated for three quarters. Now, it would have been nice if they had dominated for even 3.5 quarters, but that's neither here nor there. So they're going to be a little motivated to go up there and play that game. We'll see how it goes. Jordan Love has been hurt all year. Who's to say that he's even there for that game? You know, he keeps getting hurt. So if you end up playing Malik Willis, I feel pretty good about it. But either way, that's week 16. Then week 17, you come back home, you host the Raiders. That's going to be a game. Like, you look at this schedule, there's two games on it that the Saints are going to win. I'll guarantee it. I'll put any amount of money on it you want. They're going to beat the Giants in week 14. They're going to beat the Raiders in week 17. The Raiders have currently lost six consecutive games. The Giants aren't that far off from that. I think they've lost three or four in a row.
That's a case where obviously that interim factor has worn off now with Pierce being the full-time guy there now.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce is making the case to GMs everywhere that they should not like make that call based on the emotion. Although, like, they didn't give him a quarterback.
No,
right. Davante Adams was clearly not bought in. He's gone now. He's on the Jets on a team that's just as bad. But he's with his friend. He's with Buddy, so they can figure that out. But
yeah,
you know, so you're gonna win that game. It's gonna be an emotional, like Derek Carr will probably try to downplay it, but that's an emotional game anytime you go against a team that not only you played your majority of your career with, but then they cut you. Those are two games you'll win, right? Then there's a game that I feel pretty confident about in week 18 against the Bucs, just because the Saints win at that stadium. they do. They have more success at Raymond James over the last several years than they have at the Superdome. As weird as it is, they just like sometimes there's just these stadiums that you feel comfortable in.
But they're a dome team, Jeff. What are you talking about?
It's going to be 70 in December at Raymond James, right? Like, I'm not worried about that at all. But who's to say, who knows where the Bucs are at that point? If they keep stacking up losses like they have been, maybe they're out of it and you end up facing Kyle Trask. You don't know. Either way, if you're the Saints and you end up in a scenario where you have to go out on the road in week 18, like, and go win a game to give yourself a chance at the postseason, I don't think there's anywhere I'd rather be than Raymond James.
Yeah, for me, you mentioned, obviously, the remaining games, Green Bay, Rams, and then Washington for me are the three toughest.
Right. So like I was saying, like, there's two games you are going to win, Giants, Raiders. There's a third game that I feel pretty good about in the Bucs. At Raymond James. And then there's three games that are kind of, I would say they're a toss-up. I think they're going to be close and you're going to have to go win them. And that's in order of difficulty. Like you said, I agree with you. Packers, Rams, Commanders. Two of those games you have at home. One of them you have in the most hostile environment you could imagine on December 23rd. And so that's where you are. But what I will say is, as impossible as going 6-0 in that stretch sounds, there aren't any like sure losses. Like, you're not going and facing the Lions. You're not facing the Chiefs. You're not facing the Ravens. You're not facing the Bills. You're not going against a team that's a Super Bowl favorite that's going to run you, blow you off the field. You're going against teams that are wild card contenders.
And yeah, you mentioned the Lions, and right now I think anybody facing them is like, damn, they're obviously putting points on the board like nothing, and you know they're mean. They're a nasty team.
Yeah, and they're going to run up a score on you, and they're going to laugh while they do it.
Right.
Even if you had a game against the Broncos, I'd be like, they're not winning that game. Like, but I don't know. Like, I think there's going to be at least something to watch. And here's the thing. Like, these are wild card teams that you're facing. And if you want to make the case that you're a wild card team, you got to go out and beat those wild card teams. So that's it. That's the schedule.
No, I'm just, we got to somehow get the players to share those Merry Christmas jerseys with us and those shirts. And so the media can have some.
Yeah, and I think that I appreciate that the team won two games so we could at least have this conversation.
Yes.
Even though it's insanely unlikely and you're whatever. But the fact that we're able to sit here through a bye week and be like, what if this craziness happens? Yeah, most likely scenario is you end up 8-9, right? Like, again, I think you win the game against, like, you're the worst case scenario, in my opinion, is 6-11. If you beat the Raiders, you beat the Giants, and then you lose your other four games. 8-9 feels more likely because I think you probably beat the Bucs in week 18. If both teams are out of it, the Saints are the team that goes and wins that game in despite their own best interest, right? Like, that's just who they are as an organization. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case and you end up winning that game. And then
I truly believe Rizzi's going to keep that same kind of fire. Obviously he's got a ton to prove.
Exactly. Like, yeah, he has no motivation to go out there and not look as good as possible in week 18. But we saw, like, Steve Wilks had that same motivation. It didn't work out for him in 22. So, and I think you probably beat at worst, you probably find a way to beat one of those three teams in the Rams, Commanders, Packers. I wouldn't be surprised if it's you beat the Rams, then you lose to the Commanders and Packers. Because if you beat the Rams, you beat the Giants, then you lose to the Commanders, that's going to be very demotivating for you to then go out to Green Bay 2 days before Christmas and play that Ice Bowl game, right? So I could see that happening. I could see, you know, you feel really good. You've won four games in a row, and then it all comes crashing down against Washington. And then that funnels into the next week. So I think probably 8-9 would be my, or 7-10 would be my guess the rest of the way.
Yeah. And I'll be curious, like, what exactly is enough for Riz to keep the job? I know we talked a little bit about that in a previous podcast.
Yeah. Again, I think it's more about, I don't think there's any record that would necessarily guarantee you the job. And I think the way I put it last time was like, okay, I need you to win, go 4-4 at worst to give yourself a reasonable case. And then at that point, it's about how did you play? How did you look in those games? How did the team, how did the team buy in? And so far it's all been positive. And so far you've won all of your games. So I don't even know how we would respond if we lost. Like, we haven't even seen that happen. Like, what does a post game angry Riz look like?
I just think that's normal Riz, right?
Maybe, you know, I don't know if what prop do you think he would bring, like a broadsword to add to his, like, he's like, I'm not Bob the Builder anymore. I am
the Highlander, right? Or something. I don't know.
The Highlander.
There could be only one.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a good place to wrap up this pod. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out. This is going to be the only pod for this week. It's going to be a two-pod week, and we'll get back to our normal schedule on Monday heading into week 13. We'll see where things stand with all of the teams the Saints are chasing after that. But again, if you want to check out that rooting guide, it's on WWL.com. Kind of broke down all the paths that the Saints have and where things are. And it's got that in there. So check it out. Otherwise, thanks everyone for listening. Who dat? Go Saints.
Later, folks.
Peace.